Praise and thanks be unto the Lord our God for his grace and faithfulness, especially for his presence. If God is not present, then for what reason should we come together? We invited him. He promised it. And he is present. He will confirm his word. He will speak to us. And with all who are joined with us today, all over the earth, who are listening, who are seeing. We think especially on our friends in Chile and, of course, all over the world. Brethren were phoning from Nairobi, from Johannesburg, from Cape Town, from the Central Africa, also Brother Wallström, Brother Graf, all the brothers are sending greetings, especially also Brother Gilsong, he's sending greetings. He's not feeling so well, and he's joined with us, and we are grateful to God for it. Then we have a very good report. Just 1 hour ago, a young man from Italy, perhaps 12 years old, where is he? He was healed of cancer. Where is the boy? Here he is, there. Our brother Daniel, near, close to Milano, and his daddy and the son, they came into the office and they gave the report. The doctors could not find any trace of cancer. We are just so grateful to God. Although it's not mass miracles, we are already thankful for the miracles which happen on individual people on whom God can confirm his word. As already mentioned, all are sending greetings, and we also greet everyone from the far north in Finland, going down to the far south, just all over Europe and all over the world. The Lord our God, may he bless us. May he be with us. May he use this day and also tomorrow to speak with us, to reveal his word even more to us, and to show us his will. I have to bring you a good report of my last missionary trip. I will just mention it briefly. Especially on the Philippines, I traveled within the country more than 3,000 kilometers. I was flying to the various islands and I preached the word of God. And the people were coming together from far and near. Also ministering brethren were present in a large number. We're just so grateful. At this occasion, I would like to thank our brother Leonard Liefese from Brussels. He contributed to it that the meetings could take place in a certain order wherever I was not yet before. The Lord is just so faithful. He knows where his own are and that they must be called out. We are just so grateful for everything. One could report many things about open doors which God also gave in other countries. We are just so grateful and again grateful for all the open doors, open hearts, and for the opportunity and for the grace which we have to carry His wonderful word. Looking around us, we see also the end time is moving on. Here especially, I have the news about the new Bible. And it's really a catastrophe. The headline on the front page says, "The Bible in a just language." And what is being written here, it's a mockery. Matthew 28:19 doesn't say anymore, as in our Bibles, well known to all of us. There's only written, "Dip them into the name of God, Father and Mother for all, of the Son and of the Holy Ghost power." That's how it is written in the new Bible. Just language for all. But no more the language of God. No more the language of God. It's just terrible to see that the mockers, the scoffers, do not even stop before God and His word. But they do with the word as they like. As already said, it doesn't say baptize, but it says dip them. Baptism means, of course, to make a covenant of a good conscience with God. And whoever reads Romans chapter 6 will, of course, find out that what baptism means before God, namely to be buried with Christ into His death, and the taking out of the water signifies that we rose together with Him unto a new life. Exodus 20, verse 2, it's no more written, "I am the Lord thy God." There's only written, "I'm here, I'm your Godhead." In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, it doesn't say, "The Lord is the Spirit," but "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty." There it says, "The eternal is the Spirit power." And where Spirit power is of the eternal, there is freedom. Just continues and continues. In Matthew 6, verse 9, it doesn't say anymore, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." There it says, in the new Bible, "Thou God, our Father and Mother to us in heaven." What shall one say to all of it? In the commandments, it's no more written, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." There it says, "Thou shalt not disturb the partnership of other people." It just continues and continues. What shall we say to it? It's no more written, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." There it says, "Thou shalt love thy neighboress as thyself." Just making with the word of God what they like. And in general, a Bible translation has about 8,000 words. And this translation has more than 10,000 words. One made a storybook out of it. For us, incomprehensible. God is still watching it, but the reckoning is coming. The reckoning is coming. We all can be sure of it. Ezra said, we are sorrowful. It's of course supported and approved by most people. And here we are before the great question. Has not all of Christianity just become a religion? Just becoming a form? Without that people get into a relationship with God. And that's what's actually all about. It's of course about that God personally appeared to mankind in Jesus Christ. That God reconciled us with Himself in Jesus Christ. Pardoning us, giving us eternal life by His grace. That's what's all about. Not about a religion, brothers and sisters. It just touches and grieves me so much. One could go into many things concerning the course of time, be it in the political or economical or in the religious realm. Everything speaks a very loud and clear language that the return of our Lord has really drawn very, very near. And the meetings which God gives us shall really serve for the purpose to come closer to the Lord. As Brother Müller was reading, that the meetings are for the purpose that our Lord gives us a bath in the Word, cleansing us, sanctifying us, so that we can appear before Him without spot and without wrinkle, blameless. In all this connection with this new Bible translation, they even dealt with the creation report. The writers, they dealt with it in such a terrible way. They just said, whoever believes in a seven-day creation is a fool. Evolution, Darwin, shall have the last word. Very sad. 147 years ago, Mr. Darwin has put up his assumption, his theory, in the year 1859, evolution, first cell. He at least should have also said who created the first cell and who has put life into it. Just very, very sad. One could say much about it. One also doesn't know anymore for whom one should pray. Let us just pray for all who are ordained for eternal life. That they hear God's word and that they are called out, that they get respect before the word of God. I was thinking on Genesis, where every time it's written black on white in Genesis, in chapter 1, verse 5, the last part. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And then it continues in chapter 1, verse 8, also last part. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And that's how it continues in verse 13. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And verse 19, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day, and fifth day, sixth day. And then it says, black on white, Genesis 2, from verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. And then it says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the beginning, of course, not the spirit of Darwin was hovering upon the face of the waters, but the spirit of God. And God spoke, and it was there. We thank the Lord God that we can believe as the scripture says it. In the giving of the law, the Lord God, in Exodus 20, he also stated what took place at the creation. Exodus 20, from verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And then the Lord God ordained the Sabbath only for the people of Israel as a sign of the covenant. Exodus 31 from verse 12. I just read verse 16 and 17. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. One can go up to Revelation, and all of the Holy Scripture testifies of it, that God is the Creator, not just the place from Isaiah chapter 40. And we wished that all who mock us because we believe the creation report as it was left to us in the Holy Scripture, and we say God is the Creator of all of the universe. And here, one could ask all these gentlemen how they read Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding, and so forth, and so forth. We thank God with all our hearts. Up, as I already said, up to Revelation. Revelation, chapter 4. We have the testimony of the Lord God as Creator. And here it says, here the word worthy is written. Revelation, chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I wished that all mockers are hearing what is written in Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 18. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen with a spiritual eye, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. With a spiritual eye, not with a natural eye, not with the mind and the intellect, with a spiritual eye, his eternal power and Godhead can be seen clearly. And then we read, so that they are without excuse. I don't know whether we may dare to read on in this chapter to find out that God has given these people up. You can read it. You can take it out. Although it is actually for other people. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And it continues, verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And therefore God also gave them up. That's how it is written here from verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And it continues, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Yes. And then it's listed. What is the consequence? Namely, that things were exchanged. Here it's written. Very awkward to read. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men. One cannot read on anymore. But this is the today's condition. Sodom and Gomorrah. Just incomprehensible. And even up to Jerusalem, this trouble has come. And the Orthodox Jews are now upset because these homosexual young people are demonstrating in the Orthodox quarters, are demonstrating in Jerusalem. One has no words anymore for what is going on. The mind just can't take it. End time and again end time. And therefore, if we read in Revelation, in chapter 11, that the two prophets will be killed and the city of Jerusalem will at their time, at its time, it will be called Sodom. Everything is written already in the word of prophecy. Revelation chapter 11. Here we read of the two prophets which will be killed after their ministry. Revelation 11 verse 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. How often shall we say it? We have no understanding anymore for the things which are going on. Just be honest now. Even a man with a sound mind has big trouble, and I hope that all are grown up here, has big trouble to understand how a man and a man can be a couple, or how a woman and a woman can be a couple. It's incomprehensible. For me, it's incomprehensible. But it's the end time. Sodom and Gomorrah is here. In Genesis 19, when the two angels went from Abraham to Sodom, these men, they wanted to know this heavenly visit. And Lot was taken care of that they came into his house. They wanted to even break in, but God was merciful and blinded their eyes. When our Lord says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Sodom, so it shall be again in the days when the Son of Man is being revealed. Then we have it really live in this world. On the other hand, we have the grace of our God. In all this confusion, in all this disorder, to hear the voice of God, having received the respect before the word of God. And to this fits Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 to 3. Romans 12 from 1 to 3. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The acceptable and perfect will of God is being revealed to us by the Word of God. Then, when we think about that God entrusted to us His holy Word, this is not just a thing which we claim, it is true. God entrusted His Word to us as the divine seed. And now comes the point which is emphasized in Jeremiah 4, that we make a new ground, that we do not sow among thorns, but that the hearts are prepared to receive the Word of our God as the seed, so that the seed does not fall among the thorns and is being quenched then, not bringing forth fruit. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22. Perhaps we read first in Jeremiah 4, the verses 3 and 4. Jeremiah 4, 3 and 4. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your untilled ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Not into the old condition of the heart, but that the Lord may give a new heart, a new spirit, that just something new is plowed, as the farmer also does it. The farmer doesn't just go onto the field and sows. Before the plow is used, the ground is prepared, and then the seed is sown. So God gives us always both, that our hearts are being prepared and that the seed can be sowed into it. For this serve our meetings. And the same word is in Hosea chapter 10. It's emphasized there. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Hosea 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your untilled ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. But ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Here we have the comparison, an untilled ground, this we must have, and not just plowing wickedness among the new ground, but plucking it out, so that really something new can be sown. We time and again, we said it here, God calls out from all churches, from all denominations, from out all religions and peoples and nations. He calls out to sanctify his people in his word, namely the blood-bought flock, as we heard it in the word of introduction. Our Lord, with his own blood, which was shed on the cross of Calvary, he entered into the Holy of Holies and has put the blood upon the mercy seat. And the blood speaks for us, for all who were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Without judging, just look into the church world. Everywhere mingled with politics. Everywhere and again everywhere. Where is the true gospel still being preached? And also, to emphasize this once more, the true doctrine of the apostles is presented to be false. For instance, the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not one church and not one denomination which would not accuse us to be heretics. And the reason is because we, according to the book of Acts, baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm asking today, and all the world, would the dignitaries of our time dare to stand before Peter and say, Peter, you were a heretic? Would they dare to stand before Paul and say, Paul, you were a heretic? Would they dare to stand before Philip and say, you are a heretic? Most certainly not. Blinded and again blinded. Without revelation, we don't see it. It must be revealed to us. Without revelation, they are writing now, dip them into. One can dip into many things. It is about baptism. It's about the name. Baptize them into the name in which God revealed himself to us as Father, in the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. Very clear, very plain. But it must be revealed by God. Also, this we have said in Matthew 7, when all the great charismatics are called for judgment, then they can list many things. Three main points they will be able to list. Have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many miracles in thy name? What they could not say, we were baptized in thy name. What they could not say is, we baptized others like Peter and Paul in your name. They cannot say it. They can just list what they did in the name of the Lord. But This doesn't help them on that day, because they themselves did not submit under the will of God. And the revelation which God gave, they did not receive it. But even with the name of the Lord, they are making the biggest business which one can make on the religious market. Therefore, brothers and sisters, if we at this place have the holy duty to preach the holy word in such a way as it was left to us, then we do not refer to one scripture, but to the second, to the third one, to all the scriptures which belong to a certain subject. And therefore, we at this place, we may not sow among the thorns, not into all that what grows wildly, but it must be cleaned and tidied up. It must be a well-prepared field without compromises. The word of God must be preached. And all who are of God will hear the word of God. It starts with that we get the connection to God. Whoever is not shown by God and is not convicted by the Spirit of God to be lost, he will never cry out for salvation. First, the Spirit of God must convict and convince us of sin, of justice, and of judgment. And the Spirit of God must lead us to repentance. We must enter through the straight gate, and we must walk on the narrow way. And it must happen as our Lord said it. Ye must be born again. Otherwise, you cannot see or inherit the kingdom of God. So, it's a narrow way, a living way, but we must walk on it. This doesn't work by membership, but alone by the new birth. And the new birth is a supernatural experience which we can make with God by His grace. We have said it many times at this place. According to Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, the word is the seed. The word is the seed. And if we receive the word of the seed of the word, then faith is added. And the Holy Spirit comes upon us and works the new divine life, which is in the word. In every word of God is life. Our Lord says, the words which I speak to you are spirit and life. What did we get by the ministry of Brother Branham anew unto the lampstand? Of course, that what was lost. What remained was just a form. They have a form of godliness, but the power was lost. And God restored everything. Brothers and sisters, we don't testify of things which we imagine, but we testify of that what our eyes have seen and what our ears have heard. We witnessed the supernatural ministry of Brother Branham. And today, I brought with me this photograph to show it to you. I just brought it, I show it to you on purpose. And do you know why? This photograph, I, Brother Frank, I was holding it in my hands on the 18th of December 1969 in the Religious Hall of Art on the Constitution Avenue in Washington. I found it there, and there I was holding it in my hands. The photograph, which was taken on the 24th of January 1950 by the critics of Brother Branham, it was taken, Mr. Ayers and Mr. Kipperman, with a supernatural light, with a supernatural light above the head of Brother Branham. I, Brother Frank, I made a stopover in Washington on my way to Tucson to the conference with Brother Green, and I found this picture there, and there I was holding it in my hands. Why did I show it to you today? Just to illustrate to us that such a ministry was never on earth before. Please don't take offense at this. When God does something on the earth, then the supernatural happens. In the natural realm, all the charismatic, they have it in their hand. They can do what they like. But there, where God really gives testimony of himself and where he reveals himself, there the supernatural happens. The New Testament started with the supernatural working of God. How often shall we say it? Luke 1, from verse 11. Gabriel visits Zacharias. This was nothing normal, nothing ordinary. The moment has come. The time was fulfilled. The heaven came down. God started to make history. And here is, of course, the point which we time and again have to emphasize. The will of God happened through the promised ministry of a prophet. Isaiah 40 verse 3 was a promise. And when the time was fulfilled, the things happened what God promised. This we just have to understand, that God first gives promises. And when the time is fulfilled, then the promises are happening. Then they are becoming reality. And what was it? All the scribes, they continued as if nothing happened. And they rejected for themselves what John received from God, and also rejected to be baptized. Brothers and sisters, I will say it so long until the Lord returns, that we have the great privilege in our time to witness the promised ministry. When God himself says, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, who is the man who would then say, I don't need that? All right. If you don't want to believe it, then it's your thing. One must believe it so that it can be revealed. Whoever cannot believe it, to him it will never be revealed. We can get old like Methuselah. It will not be revealed to us. Revelation comes in the moment where we believe that what God promised us in his word. You can probably not all relate to this as I do, but you have seen the film. You have seen this supernatural light came above the person for whom Brother Branham was about to pray. And he knew exactly, this is that person whom God is now addressing. This is that person with God, with whom God is now dealing with. He saw the light above the person. And then God showed him in the vision what is with that person. I witnessed it 14 times live in this, in the same meeting, between 15 and 20 times in these 14 meetings which I witnessed live. Why do I say this? I just say it because we did not follow cunningly devised fables, but that God in our time was watching over his word, that he sent a prophet to bring us back to the original foundation, to the doctrine of the apostles and prophets. And also this must be emphasized time and again. From 1 Kings chapter 18, where it says in verse 37, that God turned their hearts back again. When God does something, then not just to have a nice audience, but to turn our hearts back. I send you the prophet Elijah. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. It's about that our hearts are turned towards God. And as the Old Testament fathers were led to the faith of the children of the New Covenant, so we are now led to the faith of our fathers at the beginning. And God confirmed it in a supernatural way for 20 years. And the religious world is bypassing it. And when even the Vatican writes in its report of Brother Branham and about his interpreter in Zurich, Mr. Hollenweger, and the Vatican writes it officially, the ministry of William Branham brought 500 evangelists forth. But that was not about. It was not about that by such a promised ministry sent from God, that not about that 500 healing evangelists are coming forth of it, who are all having their programs and who all say of themselves to be sent from God. And the word which God revealed, they are bypassing. This cannot have been the reason, the purpose of it. Also, all the charismatic meetings cannot have been the purpose of it. The end result must be the called out church, the bride church, which really hears to that what the Spirit has to say to the churches now. Namely, that our hearts are turned back to God, back to His Word. That we are taken out from all traditions, taken out from all what churches were teaching, and that we are brought back into the Word of God. This is, of course, the purpose that God was working in a supernatural way in our time. God has no time to waste. And also we may not play with the time which God gives us. But we must let ourselves be placed into the working of God. So, what is it about now? It is about that the church experiences God in the same way as our brothers at the beginning. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. so that really everything is restored into its original condition. Also the thought now with Elijah. Dear brothers and sisters, why do we have the report in the Bible? Why do we have the promise, I send you Elijah the prophet, just to have a few more pages in the Bible? Or has God something to say to us through His Word? And what was at that time? The people were walking on their own ways. They were following idols. 400 Asherah priests, 450 Baal priests, and the people were going this way, that way. No one knew anymore where there was the right way. And then God sends a prophet who had to call God's people back. And he was building the altar. And he said, how long will you falter between two opinions? This is our today's problem. People who like to continue to falter between two opinions, they don't understand it. But all who are of God, who are really ordained for eternal life, they will hearken to the message. And they will get revealed of what it is actually all about. We have it here in the New Bible translation. We have it very strong before us. How far the religious world has deviated from God, stopping at nothing anymore. And who is marveling when these people cannot believe what God promised in His Word and what He did? I say it once again. The privilege which God has given us is just therein to recognize, here are the promises, here is the fulfillment, the supernatural working of God in our time. Not to draw our attention to a man, but to God and to that what God is doing right now. But also there it's written, if you receive someone whom I send, then you receive me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. There are actually three areas which we time and again must look at this place. The evangelistic part, the teaching part, and the prophetic part. In all these areas, we must open up the Bible, and we must see the connections in the Holy Scripture to recognize by God how far the time is spent. And by this to see how near the return of Jesus Christ our Lord has drawn. According to our estimation, based upon Bible prophecy, and based upon what is published from the Vatican, the Pope just said that the UN did not succeed to implement the peace plan in the Middle East. And this must now take place. This is now the most important task. And because the politicians are not able to do it, therefore it must be someone who has no tanks, who doesn't march into the Iraq, where already some 100,000 dead are, and more than 3,000 U.S. soldiers lost their lives, and the Shiites are against the Sunnis, and the Sunnis are against the Shiites. This way no peace comes. It must really be someone who has no troops, who has only the Swiss Guard. Not so, my beloved. who has only the Swiss guard. Not so. And this is enough. It must be someone who can bring both at one table. And this is now really the very new thing. The very new thing is that they put now pressure on, that this contract between the parties must be made now. We all, who we know God's word, also Daniel 9, 27, and all the other scriptures, we recognize really that Bible prophecy has made such progress in its fulfillment that we just have to say, dear Lord, give us the grace, really, to wake up, to return to the first love. Also, this is important, dear brothers and sisters. Also, this is important, what is written in the Lord's Prayer, that we forgive as we were forgiven. That we do not impute anything against one another, not accusing one another, but as God has forgiven us in Christ. Let us, if there is something, let us forgive one another. Love covers a multitude of sin. Not a know-it-all. Who is right? Of course, no one. God knows our hearts. Even we think to be in the right, and we can even make use of the rule of force, just forget it. Forget it. This time is over. No one is right. God is right. God is right. And as it is written in Mark 11, when you pray, then forgive one another. And then it will take place. Brothers and sisters, we must find back to God, finding back to one another. The love of God must be poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God must have His way with all of us. And then an atmosphere will be in which God is present and in which we all feel all right. When really no one is accusing the other one anymore, but that our hearts are purified, our trespasses forgiven, and all who trespassed against us are also forgiven. Just forgiving, not imputing anything, and then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will rule our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then the blood of the Lamb will also purify us from all sin. Then we can look up with Peter and we can read with Peter what he has written concerning the redemption. The apostles were really hitting the point. Time and again, they were hitting the point. Here, in Peter, it's of course written in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, in chapter 1, from verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So, and then verse 21, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Let us allow this to every brother and sister, that we received the connection to God, that you and my trespasses, everything were forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, that we really received the reconciliation with God, that it has become our personal experience of salvation, that we are no longer just strangers and pilgrims, but citizens of the house of God, and that we as the church of the Lord can be the place of God's manifestation here on earth, that we can be the temple of God in which God can manifest himself. And we are nearing the hour, may it start even today, where people will have an experience with God, where repentance by the Spirit is given, where faith is given, where we can truly make our personal experiences of salvation with God. Whoever believes as the Scripture says will also experience what the Scripture promised. He will receive it. And this is the faith which the Lord has given us by His grace. Now, one more thought. In the Old Testament, the men of God prophesied of the grace which would come upon us. In the New Testament, we can say, out of His fullness, we received grace for grace. And let us look into our lives. How God was carrying us. How He revealed His Word to us. How He showed us the mysteries in His Word. He has really taken us into the Holy of Holies of the Old Testament men of God. We are told in 1 Peter 1, in verse 12, 1 Peter 1, verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The Old Testament men of God announced, they were asking themselves, what time does the Spirit of God refer to? When will it happen? Let us just think today on Isaiah, when he prophesied, a virgin shall conceive. I can imagine, and if one could have asked him on his deathbed, man of God, do you really believe on that? What you spoken out? He would have answered, it is thus saith the Lord. You can rely on it. It will happen. But 800 years, 800 years passed. But when the time was fulfilled, it happened. If we could have asked Malachi, you prophesied, the Lord will send his messenger. We didn't see it. We didn't hear of him. Do you still believe today that your prophecy will be fulfilled? Also he could have answered, it will be fulfilled, for it is thus saith the Lord. 400 years passed, And when the time was fulfilled, it happened. Brothers and sisters, we have a big problem with time. And we say it very honestly as it is. Already Paul and the men of God, at that time, 2,000 years ago, they were counting with the return of the Lord. Martin Luther, the great reformer, he said, as the 3 days and nights with Jonah were not fulfilled, so the 2,000 years will not be full until the return of Jesus Christ. All the men of God, all at their time, they were counting with it. Also Brother Branham. Brother Branham was counting fully that the Lord at his lifetime would return. Now, again, 40 years have passed. And it could be that someone would think by himself, oh, Brother Frank, you already 1960 or 65 or 66, you already preached about the return of the Lord. And we are still waiting. Let us wait. We are not waiting in vain. The Lord promised it. The Lord will return. And let us be honest. If the Lord would have come already, sometime in the 70s, then many of us would not be there. Therefore it's written that God is not slack concerning the promise, but is long-suffering, that no one who is ordained for eternal life, that he gets lost. And when the time is fulfilled, and when the last one is called and has entered in, then the door of grace will be closed. And then the Lord returns to take us home. Also to me, it takes too long. I would love that we would be alive when it happens. And to be honest, I'm counting with the return of the Lord in our lifetime. I'm counting with it fully. I'm counting with the return of the Lord in our lifetime. The time is in his hand. He decides over it. I said already, Paul was counting with it. The apostles also. It will happen at the right time. Jesus is never too late. Important is that we are being prepared, that we are brought into agreement with God, that we experience the supernatural working of God personally. And by this, having part in that, what God appointed for us. And this by grace. So, God has sent us the last message to call out, to prepare. He has given us the evangelistic part to preach the everlasting gospel as it was preached in the original, to preach it to the whole mankind once more. He has given us the grace to preach everything doctrinally according to the word of God, so that the church is being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And has given us the wonderful access to the word of prophecy by his grace. These are things which no man can take by himself, except they are given to him by God. So, we thank our Lord that he graciously visited us, that he didn't bypass us, but that he has seen us, he called us, and that he can bring us into agreement with himself and his word. We truly We have an inner agreement to God and to His Word. To believe as the Scripture has said it. Here are no programs of men. Here is the divine program for the end time. The last part of the divine plan of salvation in which we were taken into, and this all by grace. May it have been given to us to have an agreement with our hearts and to become one with the Lord and also among one another. The Lord God may bless us all. May He be with us all. And His word will also not return void today. It will accomplish for what He has sent it for. And God gives revelation by His Holy Spirit. To Him be the honor now and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand up for prayer. I would have the wish that our two sisters are singing a song for us, which we're singing recently in Ingolstadt. A nice song which we were singing already decades ago. Perhaps we can tune in to the chorus.
Schwach, du bist stark. Deine Kraft hält mir voran. Ich erreiche nur das Ziel, wenn ich mit dir auch ergehen kann. Lass mich immer mit dir gehen. Lass mich deinen Willen sehen. Herr, lass mich dein Wort verstehen. Steh mir bei, o mein Herr, mach mich treu. Lass mich immer mit dir gehen. Lass mich deinen Willen sehen. Herr, lass mich dein Wort verstehen. Steh mir bei, o mein Herr, mach mich treu. Wenn das Leben trostlos scheint, weil kein Mensch mein Elend sieht, weiß ich, einer ist bei mir, der mich trägt, der mich hält, der mich zieht. Lass mich immer mit dir gehen. Lass mich deinen Willen sehen. Herr, lass mich dein Wort verstehen. Steh mir bei, o mein Herr, mach mich treu. Lass mich immer mit dir gehen. Lass mich deinen Willen sehen. Herr, lass mich dein Wort verstehen. Steh mir bei, o mein Herr, mach mich treu.
Danke schön.
Thank you.
In Englisch haben wir das Lied immer wieder mal gesungen.
In English, we were time and again singing this song. Let us bow our heads. Let us remain in silent prayer. Let me understand thy word. Let me recognize thy will. Let me know thy will. We were tuning in with our hearts. We have heard the word of God. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, today the Lord wants to confirm His word. He wants to save. He wants to deliver. He wants to heal. And He wants to bless. If faith was worked in you by the preaching, then take God at His word. Don't look on circumstances. We all lean to do so in the natural realm, looking on the circumstances, on all the trials and tests, on everything what comes along our ways. And most certainly, we all have to go through trials. Wherever one looks, everywhere is trouble. But we know Him who promised, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. We know Him who said, whatever you ask in my name, this shall be given unto you. And you shall know, brothers and sisters, precious friends, we are also here for you in the name of the Lord, to believe with you, to pray with you, and to take God at His word. First and foremost, that we believe, believing with all our hearts, as the Scripture says, every promise and everything what God did already, to receive it and to walk forward with the Lord. Also, this we said many times, every revival was already the preparation for the next revival. And the message which God has given us is, of course, for the purpose that the bride is being called out, prepared, and being brought into agreement with God and His word. Brothers and sisters, and this in a time where God's word has fallen into the hands of men, where people are making with God and His word what they like. In this time, God laid it in such a way that there is a small flock which hearkens to that what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. A small flock with a holy respect before the word of God. It's grace. And lets us all know that therein is founded the election from before the foundation of the world. As the Lamb of God was foreordained from before the foundation of the world to die for us, so we were chosen, foreordained from before the foundation of the world to have part in the finished work of redemption. Until we come from believing unto seeing. Especially, we turn to all who are here today for the first time, who never have been in such a service. Receive it. Accept it. And God will reveal Himself to you. In the same way we say to all who wish to rededicate their lives to God, the Lord is present. He says to all, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will quicken you. I will give you rest for your souls. He is here and says to us, enter the straight gate, walk on the narrow way which leads to life. He is present. Also all who are in trouble, all who cannot help themselves. And if you think on our young people, to how many temptations they are exposed, up to the drugs. Let it be said to you today, no man has fallen so deep as if the Lord could not take him out. God is present to set the captives free, to be merciful, to give forgiveness, and to make free, to make you free. Call upon the name of the Lord. Here is no one who condemns, no one who picks up a stone to throw it. Here are pardoned people who have compassion on all, who pray with all, and who want to experience with all that God is merciful. As in Bible days, when our Lord walked this earth, all the people could come to him. Those who were heavy laden, even those who were tormented by demons, they could come. And all experienced the power of God. There where Jesus Christ is present, there also the demons have to flee. There the captives are set free. There God confirms his holy word. To this we are witnesses. Today healings can take place. Receive it. Lay your hand on the things you are lacking and thank the Lord God for the healing. And such who are tormented and who are heavy laden, tell it to the Lord. Here we have no confessional box. Here we have no shrift. Here are no such things. Here is only grace which God gives to all who call upon him. And the Holy Scripture says, call upon me in the time of trouble and I will save you and ye shall praise me. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. You will be healed. You will be delivered. Here are not men. Here God is at work by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Receive it. It's yours. Purchased by the death of our Lord on the cross of Calvary. The full gospel, the full salvation is being proclaimed here. And today it's also experienced. Today, blessed and praised be the Lord, our God, now and forever. And all the people said,
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Preis sei Gott im Herrn. Singen wir noch glaube nur.
Glaube nur, glaube nur, alles ist möglich, glaube nur, glaube nur, glaube nur.
Dies ist der Tag, den der Herr.
lasse das Wort und den Geist hinein. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht. Und noch ich lieb ihn.
You may be seated.